Super Talk Mississippi Media Production. You're listening to the Rebel Report Podcast, where it's all Ole Miss all the time.
All right, what is it you want to do when you grow up?
Here's your host, Michael Borky.
Welcome in, everybody, to the Rebel Report. I'm Michael Borky. As always, I'm glad that you are with me after a winning weekend for Ole Miss sports. You, the Ole Miss fan out there, just had a good quality weekend of winning. Basketball goes on the road. Got a little tight there at the end, but basketball won. Baseball gets a series win. Even if you're a women's basketball fan, literally doubled up Arkansas yesterday on their way to being a 3 seed in the SEC tournament. In my hometown, by the way, if you are going to that, I know that there will be some people that will make that trip. If you're going, I grew up there. That is my hometown. So I've got all the recommendations, food spots, drinking spots, stuff to do in between games and whatnot. Please don't hesitate to reach out, and I will give you a running list of things to do there in Greenville. So hope that you enjoy that if you're making your way. So we got a lot to talk about on this Monday morning. The sun is rising at the moment, which means I got to hurry because that means my son is about to wake up. So let's just dive right into it. Please follow me on Twitter, Facebook, and YouTube at Michael Borky, B-O-R-K-E-Y. And wherever you get your podcast, search Rebel Report, subscribe, and leave a rating and a review. If you like what you hear, I would appreciate you doing both of those things. Let's start with baseball. So Ole Miss gets a series win over Iowa. They continue some positive momentum. Now, not everything was great this weekend. We'll talk about some of that. It was an overall successful weekend. There are still some things to be concerned about, but by and large, the momentum that we've talked about, you know, they're starting to stack some wins. They get a series win. There's a real chance that they enter SEC play with some momentum if they continue on this path, and that happened this weekend. A series win over Iowa. And that's a successful weekend. So we'll start there. Just big picture, beating Iowa this weekend is a successful weekend, especially with what Iowa was able to throw at you on Friday night with Brody Brecht. He was absolutely as advertised. He went 5 complete, gave up just 1 earned run, struck out 11, did give up 2 runs, but one of those was earned. But 103 pitches in those 5 innings, so Ole Miss worked counts pretty good. He was also aided, is not the right word. There was some bad defense played behind him that led to extended innings, but I thought Ole Miss did okay there. You know, not great, but I thought they did okay there. I mean, they struck out 11 times in 5 innings. That's not great, but did work his pitch count up some, and they got to that bad bullpen, and you saw what Iowa's bullpen is, which is an atrocity. And were able to tie that game in the ninth, and then or in the eighth, and then you know everything went to crap after that. But winning two this weekend is a success. I know Iowa doesn't really look like what people thought they were going to be from a test perspective, getting swept last weekend. And I mean, those of you that went to the games, I feel like you kind of saw it. I've talked to some people about this series in particular, and they were hoping that Iowa would give a better gauge of this Ole Miss team, and I kind of agree there. I was expecting them to be a little bit better than this, but all in all, series win, successful weekend, all of that is absolutely true, especially bouncing back from getting beat by Brecht, which is not anything to be too upset about, is a nice weekend. So let's start with Friday. Brecht was good. Honestly, you know, Gunnar Dennis was fine for the most part, but that's kind of the theme with starting pitching. We'll get to that in a little bit. Just fine, and it needs to be more than that if they're going to win conference games. But he did go 5 complete, only gave up 4 hits, but 5 earned runs, walked 3. Efficiency is the issue on Friday and Saturdays for Ole Miss on the mound as of this moment. But he was okay. And again, Brecht was exactly as advertised, really, really cold night in Oxford, and he was still as electric as he was. The guy's legit. He is just absolutely legit. Groff had a couple of hits. Fisher had a hit and 2 RBIs. He was just electric all weekend long. Jackson Ross had a hit as well. The story, though, from Friday night, at least for Ole Miss at the plate, is Treyson Hughes. Didn't play on Sunday, but Treyson Hughes is seemingly starting to find himself a little bit. He had a couple of hits in this one, and you needed that. You love to see it because he was productive at Mercer and looked like he was really pressing and kind of struggling out of the gate, but you knew he could be better than he was showing, and Friday and Saturday he gave you that. So good day at the plate for him. Good weekend at the plate for him, and we'll get to Sunday here in a little bit. But Brayden Randall had a hit as well, so he comes in and he gets a hit. And so Ole Miss, again, eight hits. They scored seven runs. They got walked a ton. I mean, got walked 13 times, and that's what brought them back into the game. But by and large, kind of what you expected to happen on Friday night. Hard to score on Brecht, and they got beat. But there is a little bit more to it than that, as you guys saw. Everybody watched. Iowa basically walked in five runs for Ole Miss in the bottom of the eighth inning. And Ole Miss was able to tie the game because, I mean, poor Iowa's pitching just could not throw strikes at all. And so Ole Miss, to their credit, patient at the plate, was able to tie this game up. But then Ole Miss goes to Connor Spencer instead of Mallets or one of the more reliable arms out of their bullpen. In hindsight, a bad decision from Mike Bianco. Because I know you guys thought the same thing that I did. After Ole Miss was able to tie it up in the eighth, there is no way, and I was thinking it at the time, channeling my inner LeBron James, talking about in hindsight, or having the benefit of hindsight and promising you that I had certain thoughts, but I bet you guys all thought the same thing. There's no way Iowa was keeping Ole Miss off the scoreboard in the ninth. There's no way that was happening. All Ole Miss needed to do was get three outs, and they were winning the game. That's all they had to do, and I know I'm saying this when Ole Miss was kept off the scoreboard in the bottom of the ninth, but by then the game had ended. In that spot, not going to a more reliable bullpen arm ended up costing Ole Miss that game, I think, on Friday night, because it really, I mean, Spencer gave up six runs there and only was able to give one out or get one out, and then by the time they made a change, it was a little too late. So just an unraveling there for Ole Miss in the ninth, but a bad managerial decision in hindsight. They had an opportunity to steal one, and they were unable to do it. Quite frankly, Ole Miss didn't really deserve to win that game on Friday night, but they could have stolen one, and unfortunately, they were not able to do so. So as a result, they had to bounce back and win the next couple of games, and they were able to do just that. So Friday night's behind them. Get into Saturday, and actually, I didn't speak correctly about Gunnar Dennis. He was better than the numbers indicate on Friday night. I think that he is a viable weekend arm for sure. So anyway, sorry, I was a little too negative about that. That was fine. I would shake up the rotation. We'll get to that more here in a little bit. But anyway, they lose Friday, kind of imploded there in the ninth. Not kind of. They imploded in the ninth, had an opportunity, kind of blew it, but never really should have been in that spot anyway. So they have to bounce back over the next two, and they did just that. So Iowa's bullpen, I mean, just an atrocity. They walked 10 and hit 4 on Saturday. They walked 8 and hit 4 on Sunday. But to Ole Miss's credit, they are their plate approach and their patience was good this weekend. They had, generally speaking, more discipline. Now we'll get to some of the stuff with runners on base here in a little bit, but they're one of the best teams in the country in walks, and that, you know, is in part because of who they played, but also, I mean, does the 2023 Ole Miss baseball, do they get walked as much as this team has gotten walked so far this season? I don't think so. So patience at the plate and working counts is most definitely part of the reason why they were able to do this. But Iowa gave Ole Miss a bunch of runners, and Ole Miss was able to win the game. 12 runs on 11 hits for Ole Miss. Andrew Fisher was exceptional. He had five RBIs. He's just becoming elite. I mean, he is exactly what you were hoping he would be at this point. He had three hits, five RBIs, also walked as well. Furness had a couple of hits. Jackson Ross had a hit. Smithwick had a pair of hits. That was really encouraging. But here's this guy again. Treyson Hughes had a pair of hits and an RBI. Also walked and scored a run as well. Really, really encouraging and positive weekend for Treyson Hughes. That is what you needed him to be, and he is showing what he can be, what you expected him to be with those two games this weekend. So Ole Miss was good at getting on base, shout out Moneyball, and productive at the plate at times anyway. What's concerning, though, is the start. JT Quinn only goes 2 2/3, gave up 6 hits and 5 runs, walked a couple as well, had 2 wild pitches. You know, the stuff is there. He's got the ability, the talent is there, but simply put, just not having good enough starts. And at some point, I think you have to shake up the rotation and consider giving somebody else an opportunity, because you are not going to win SEC games with starts like this. But he only goes 2 2/3. Mitch Morrell came in, pitched 1 1/3, just gave up a couple of hits, did strike out one. Austin Simmons, the story of the day, at least for most Ole Miss fans, he was really good yet again. Goes 2 complete, does not give up a hit or a run, only faced the minimum in those 2 complete. And what I like about Austin Simmons is that he seems to be an energy guy. And I'm not in the locker room, obviously, so I don't know the inner workings of the team or their mental makeup, but it seems like so far in the early going, they haven't had, at least from our view, a juice guy, an energy guy, somebody that comes in and you can see visibly brings it. And Austin Simmons not only pitched well, but he brought that electricity. I mean, pumping up the crowd as he's walking on the field and doing all that stuff. I haven't seen enough of that from this team. And Austin Simmons is a guy that brought that this weekend, and I really liked what I saw from him from the energy perspective as well. The young pitcher doesn't appear to be afraid at all. I think that he has earned at least more high-leverage situations moving forward. I mean, he produces. What else can you say? He is a productive pitcher right now for this team, and I think he's earned the opportunity to continue getting more valuable weekend looks. I love the energy that he brings, and it was awesome to see. I mean, this guy should be pitching against high schoolers right now, and he comes in and he brought the energy and brought life to Swayze, and the stuff is good, and he needs to pitch more. He just simply needs to pitch more. Malice didn't give up a run, scattered 3 hits, 2 strikeouts in his 2 complete innings, and then Tekoyan, did walk one, but he struck out one. No runs, no hits in his 1 inning. Ole Miss's bullpen appears to be pretty solid. I mean, that's another encouraging thing. We'll get to more of that here in a little bit. So Ole Miss gets that win on Saturday, setting up a very important Sunday game, and they were able to take care of business and win. Grayson Saunier was excellent for Ole Miss. Scattered 2 hits and 5 complete. Only ran up 90 pitches in 5 complete innings, and Iowa hits it pretty well. That was certainly a competent and capable Iowa offensive lineup, and he really just kind of cruised through them. And so Saunier's been good, really good, and I think that he has earned the opportunity to pitch earlier in weekends. More on that in a little bit. Wes Mendez in 2 2/3 did give up 3 runs on 4 hits, but did strike out 6. The stuff is really good for the young pitcher. And Kyler Carmack was good in his 1 1/3, only gave up 1 hit, struck out 2 there. So Ole Miss had a good Sunday pitching for whatever it's worth. At the plate, not as good. Only 5 hits for Ole Miss on Sunday. Birch was good. He had a home run and 3 hits in his 3 at-bats. And scored a couple of runs there as well. So kind of a struggle at the plate, but when Ole Miss struggled at the plate, they got a really good pitching performance that turned them into a winner. So they win the series, and that obviously is a good thing. So positives and some negatives from the weekend overall. As I said before, it's a series win. This is an Iowa team that was projected to be among the best in the Big Ten. They had this big power Friday night arm They lose on Friday, bounce back, win a series. The positive momentum is continuing for Ole Miss. They have an opportunity again with Memphis and a weekend series to continue to build momentum before South Carolina, that South Carolina series, which is a really good thing. It appears that Ole Miss is getting better at the plate. Fisher was just excellent all weekend. He got hit in the head. You guys saw it. You know it. Apparently, there's nothing to be too concerned about. Maybe they give him the midweek off with Memphis. It's entirely possible that that happens. Frankly, I think that would be a pretty good idea, even if he's feeling 100%. Just, you know, give him the day off. Let him recover from getting hit in the dome the way he did. So positive they win the series. Patience at the plate was there. It was really good there. Saunier was good. The bullpen is good. You're starting to see some leveling out for this Ole Miss lineup. They're starting to hit the ball a little bit better. Like we've talked about before, the averages are, of course, coming up. Treyson Hughes is now up to 257 after his successful weekend. I would have loved to have seen him stay in the lineup on Sunday. I am well aware of the lefty-righty situation and why that happens, but a guy that's been struggling with confidence has two really good games. I would have loved to have seen him continue to play on Sunday to try to build that confidence up, but regardless, he had a really good weekend. He's up to 257. Andrew Fisher's almost at 300 now at this point. His OPS is 1.2 after a really, really, really good weekend for him. Leger's up to 342. Jackson Ross is at 390. So you're starting to get some real improvement from this Ole Miss lineup. So big positives this weekend. Saunier good, order improving. They get two wins, momentum continues, and stuff like that. It wasn't all good this weekend, though. Ole Miss has been really, really bad with runners in scoring position. They were especially bad this weekend. With the bases loaded, of all things, they have got to be more productive with runners on base. Because, again, it's weird to say these two things at once. It seems like they are getting more comfortable, getting some confidence at the plate. They're improving, but also still really bad with runners in scoring position. Those seem to be conflicting thoughts, but I think you guys see what I see there. They have got to get better with runners in scoring position. Because that simply is going to cost them league games moving forward. So despite the bats improving, seemingly improving, got to get better there if they're going to win SEC weekends. But still, at least they are improving at the plate. So got to get better with runners in scoring position. They've got to play better defense. They are still not a good defensive team. They got saved by Andrew Fisher after bad defense in the first inning. Could have made the start yesterday a little bit more dicey, but he made an exceptional play to get out of an inning. They're not a good enough defensive baseball team right now. They have got to get better there because, as you guys know, the margin for error in the SEC is just so much thinner than that of when you're playing Iowa. They can get away with bad defense against Iowa and still win a series. You cannot get away with bad defense against South Carolina and win that series. They've got to clean it up. Luckily, they can. I think they are better than what they've looked like in the field. There is more talent there than they have displayed to this point. So positive spin is they can clean that up. If they do, they're in good shape. The negative spin is if they don't clean it up, it's going to cost them games. They've got to get better in the field. And finally, I think that it's time to shake up the starting rotation. I think Saunier has earned a game one start. I think he's earned a Friday night start. He is Ole Miss's best starting pitcher to this point. I understand that there are some guys that just fit their roles better, and maybe he's one of those guys. Maybe the game three, the Sunday role, if you will, is just better suited for him and his makeup and his mindset. And so changing that, you run the risk of not having that same guy. But he's Ole Miss's best starter. He simply is their best starter. I think that he has earned the opportunity to be their Friday night ace. He's their best option on the mound right now. And again, I know that, you know, Dennis was good, but I still think that you can dramatically improve the production that you get from your game one starter, and that move would be Saunier, because right now, Ole Miss doesn't pitch it well enough out of their starters to win a lot of games in the SEC. Can that improve with their current rotation? Sure, it certainly can, but you've got a sample size that's large enough now to where I think that you might want to consider giving somebody else a weekend shot. And this weekend might be a good weekend to do it, considering you're not in conference play yet. But I don't want to like single out an individual player. But right now, JT Quinn is just not – he's not giving you enough at the moment. I mean, he's got a 6.75 ERA in his three starts. I mean, he's only – in three starts, he's only pitched 9 1/3 inning. I mean, that's it. And he's walked 10 in 9 innings. I mean – there's really, if that continues, there's really no way that you're going to win many SEC games if your starting pitcher in game two of a series is getting chased in the third inning while also putting guys on wild pitches as well mixed in there. It's just simply not good enough. Maybe, you know, you don't want to, or maybe you do, but people have talked about mallets assuming a weekend role. That eliminates one of your really high-quality bullpen arms, but I think that a mix-up in the rotation is apt right now because Ole Miss is not going to win many SEC series with starting pitching in its current form. They have to try something else. I think it's about time to try something else, whether it be you change roles or change personnel, because Iowa's competent. They're certainly competent at the plate. There are much better teams coming, much, much better teams coming. And so something's got to give there because you're not winning 14 league games and getting back into the tournament without something changing. And so maybe it's time to mix it up. So by and large, successful weekend. They continue the positive momentum. Bats are improving. Patience of the plate is good. Bullpen is good. Saunier was good. On the flip side, bad defensive team. Not good enough starting right now. And really bad with runners in scoring position. But it's a successful weekend. And move forward and see if the improvement can continue. The podcast is brought to you by Advantage Business Systems. Check them out online. ABSMS.com. That's the website. If your Mississippi business is in the market for office technology, anything from copiers and printers and mail machines to cloud storage, data security, IT projects, phone systems, whatever it is, technology in the office. If your Mississippi business needs it, check them out online. Advantage Business Systems, ABSMS.com. Tell them I sent you. You'll get a complimentary office technology assessment. The podcast is also brought to you by Priority One Bank. Let them make you their priority. They've got 16 locations here in the state of Mississippi, so there's likely one in your backyard, like there's one in my backyard. I had a really smooth banking experience with them last week, as I told you guys about setting up a separate savings account so I can start putting money away to take my son to the World Cup here in a couple of years. So that will be really exciting. And because of Priority One Bank, I was able to do that. I was in and out in, 5 minutes setting up a separate savings account for that. So Priority One Bank makes you their priority. Basketball. Ole Miss got a win on Saturday night in Columbia. Now, I know there was a ton of empty seats in the arena, a lot, because of course there were. But for a team that was 8-20 and 0-15 in the SEC, I'm surprised there were as many people there as there were. Shout out to Missouri fans for being gluttons for punishment, I suppose. So Ole Miss jumped out to a 20-point lead in the first half, and my thought at the time was, you know, it's just good to see that they're locked in and focused and still playing playing hard, and Chris Beard was able to, like, keep their focus, and that was a really positive thing. Now, I know they almost blew it there at the end, but still, I think that despite that, that take remains accurate. This team, despite the losing skid being what it was, kind of playing themselves out of the NCAA tournament, to show up to Missouri in a half-empty arena on the road and come out locked in and playing good quality basketball, I thought was a really encouraging and positive sign. You love to see that, right? Because they're not, quote-unquote, dead yet. They're very much way on the outside looking in. But they can make a mini run and at least make the committee have something to think about on Selection Sunday, and they're still locked in and playing well. Alan Flanagan only played 8 minutes because of what I believe a hamstring injury. They're not going to Georgia and winning without him being 100%, I don't think. So that's something to keep an eye on for sure. But an encouraging performance despite almost blowing it, I know. But to see them come out and play well, Matt Morrell was really good and efficient, made 5 of his 9 3-point shots, didn't miss a free throw. 6 of 11 from the field, had 21 points. Jamin Brightfield was really good. Only 1 of 5 from three, but made 10 free throws, was 4 of 8 from the field. So really encouraging there. Cisse and Sharp both had 7 rebounds, which is like unbelievable considering what they've been in the past anyway, struggling there. This game was officiated horribly, by the way. I mean, just awful. Ole Miss shot 42 free throws, and Missouri shot 27 free throws. By 52 fouls called in a 40-minute game. Just absurd how this game was officiated. If Ole Miss was better at the free throw line, they probably would have won. Like, Missouri's run in the second half probably wouldn't have happened that way if Ole Miss is just better shooting free throws. I mean, they missed 9 free throws just in the second half alone did Ole Miss, and that kind of allowed Missouri to climb back into this game. So, you know, they win. They've got an opportunity if they beat Georgia and they beat A&M and win a couple in Nashville, maybe they can start creeping back onto the bubble in some way. The bubble's always bad. I mentioned it every single time we talk about basketball at this point. Bubble teams are going to lose. If you don't lose, you're going to move up because bad teams are on the bubble because the bubble is always bad. But at this point, with 2 games to play, the fact that they sit here at 20-9 and they're 7-9 in the league is rather remarkable. So I know that we've talked about recently some things that haven't looked right with this team, effort, discipline, stuff like that, especially in that South Carolina game. We've talked about it, and all of that remains true. But the fact that they sit here where they are at 20-9 and 7-9 in the league again is exactly what you should have hoped for back in October. If I'd have told you back in October, hey, they're going to win 20 with 2 games to play, they're going to have 20 wins and 7 SEC wins. Every single person, I think, including Chris Beard, would have been like, hell yeah, sign me up. So they are very much in 2024 matching, if not exceeding, rational expectations. I know there's been a disappointing lull of stringing losses together, but being in this position that they're in right now just speaks volumes to Chris Beard, but also like Matt Morrell and these guys that have come in and have given Ole Miss fans something to be really excited about when it comes to basketball. You're seeing what competitive basketball can do to a fan base, and they've got 2 games left. We'll see if they can, you know, get a couple of wins together and maybe make this thing interesting. But so far, the season is an absolute success. And, I mean, even regardless of how these next 2 games go, I think that this season can only be looked at as a success, as a program. So, important win to beat Missouri and keep it a little bit interesting. So, good on them, and we'll see what they can do moving forward. So, that's your weekend in Ole Miss sports. Appreciate you guys being here, as always, and I will talk to you on the next one. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. We'll see you tomorrow. We'll see you tomorrow. Talk to you then.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.